Mr. Kahana, seated side by side. Gentlemen, I must tell you, when I talked to various people throughout the day, told them that you were going to be here, it's an amazing thing. So many of them said, oh, they won't. They won't sit side by side. They will? Why is it that people find it so difficult to believe that you two could sit down and have a discussion, a debate, or call it what you will?
They really don't understand that human beings can communicate and disagree. And, Bob, I want to say that the tribute really goes to you, because the first time that Rabbi Kahana was on the show, you invited me to appear, and I came, and I broke the ice by giving him a big hug. You remember, you were amazed, and the rabbi himself was amazed to see me, very courteous, very cordial. But the tribute, Bob, goes to you for initiating this dialogue.
Dr. Davinovsky, I have always been overjoyed to meet you in America. I've always said that I would be overjoyed to sit down with any Arab from Palestine in America. And I've always said that I believe that Israel is making a great mistake by not sitting down with the PLO. If I were the Prime Minister, I think that there is no such a difference between the PLO and all the other Arabs. I think that they all think exactly the same thing. Some are smarter, some are not. I think that the more foolish ones say exactly what they mean, the Syrians and so on. And Gaddafi, you mean the same thing, but you're a clever man. So, but I think that we should sit down with Arabs always and, you know, and say no.
Well, that is what I have been advising the Palestinians, that they should be willing to meet with the Israelis, even with a Begin, with a Shamir, doesn't matter. Because ultimately, if there has to be peace in the area, it has to be the result of the dialogue, negotiation, agreements, disagreements between the Israelis and the Palestinians, not between the Israelis and the Egyptians, or the Israelis and Lebanese, the Israelis and the Jordanians, the Israelis and Palestinians. Now, they will have difficulties, basic disagreements, but that is the only road toward peace.
Maybe I'm being premature, gentlemen, but it seems very impressive to me that here, both of you, whose names evoke emotional response, both of you who are held to be extremists, and yet both of you so far, and I say maybe I'm being premature, you sound reasonable, you're communicating, and I think if this attitude, basic attitude, could be translated to the people who are in the power circles, wouldn't that be wonderful?
No, I think, Bob, that that's not quite true. We can be reasonable, but basically there is a serious problem. And the problem is that the Arabs sincerely believe that the entire country is theirs. And I know that it isn't. So therefore, I'm basically a very, very decent person. I'll sit down with anybody, but I won't give them one inch of my territory. That's the problem. And
when you talk about the country, you mean Israel.
The land of Israel.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Mayfield, do you see anything wrong?
I think one of the attributes of Rabbi Kahana is that he is frank, honest, in my judgment, in my book, more decent than all the Zionists put together, because he states the case. And I think that is also one of my attributes, stating the case clearly. Therefore, at least we can communicate, even if we disagree. We know exactly where we stand. And having understood that fact, we haven't had sufficient time for a week or two or three. Possibly then we may be able to come up to some better understanding than merely agreeing on the basic premise.
All right. So, in a way, this reminds me of a heavyweight boxing match where the two opponents get out of the middle of the ring and neither one wants to throw a blow, neither one wants to open himself up. And they kind of feel each other out. And at this point, as we get to the end of round one, the audience is going, hey, they want to see some punches landed. Who's going to land the first punch here?
Coming up.
Bob, I think that, you know, I did. I mean, when I said that there is a basic difference, Dr. Mechti said, well, there's a basic difference, but if we sit... No, there's a basic difference. Dr. Nakhli, the Palestine National Covenant of the PLO, and of course you can play games with it, calls for the elimination of a Jewish state of any size, of any shape, and of any form.
As a matter of fact, I'd like to quote him, Mayor Kahana. I'd like to quote him on that broadcast, that historic broadcast where I brought you two together for the first time. His words to you were that he wanted to see the peaceful withering away of Israel. Those were your words, Dr. Mack. The peaceful withering away.
I still stand by those words. And I believe, because I'm an optimist, unlike Rabbi Kahane, who is an expression of pessimism, if he and I are together for 3 weeks, heaven knows I may have him recognize the validity of some of my positions, that it will be on the long run in the interest of his own intellectual thinking, in the interest of the Jews, in the interest of humanity.
Dr. Mechti, look, you know, I really think that up until now you've been extremely honest. Now, let's keep it alone at that. The fact of the matter is that you know very, very well that I believe that the land of Israel belongs to the Jewish people. I believe that for various reasons.
I know.
Biblical reasons, historical reasons, and sanity. The so-called Palestinians were killing Jews in the 20s and 30s and 40s before there was an occupied land. I think that the basic importance of our city here is that we can, that at least as I see it, is that we can at least get all those incredible Jewish liberals who think that you can buy everything, a condominium and a Cadillac, and also people. You can buy a Cadillac, that's true, and a condo. You cannot buy the Arabs' national pride by raising their living standards, or by saying we came to a desert and gave them a garden. Well, the fact is, the Arab says it was my desert, now it's your garden. I understand you well. You want the end of Israel. Now, you would love to have it wiped out quickly, but you can't do it. So you speak of a peaceful withering away. Dr. Nachdi, no one is going to wither away. We are there, and we are going to stay.
Rabbi Kahane, I of course believe that you are fully, genuinely a believer in the expression of the true believer. But I'm suggesting that more important than the Jewish state is the Jewish people. And if we can organize an arrangement in which the Jewish people shall be in Palestine and forever in peace, I think that is good enough of a ground for a basic understanding towards peace. You know, we are not obsessed with a state. The Jewish people existed long before there was a Jewish state, and I have the news for you, the Jewish people will stay long after the Jewish state has withered away.
Well, there is no question that there was a Jewish people prior to the state, and we were just enjoyable living under such conditions as Crusades and Inquisitions and Kishners and pogroms and Auschwitzes. Well, you can keep that. I'm not interested in living under Arabs. I mean, I am interested in my own country. Now, you have 22 countries, even though you have great, great, great problems from killing, you know, stopping from killing each other off. Nevertheless, what is happening today in Lebanon would happen to me tomorrow if we didn't have the army. So I think that you have a great, great problem, and that is the Arabs have apparently some kind of a very serious problem in living with each other. And I really think that the Arab problem, I think, is being more clearly seen by Americans today, that the Arabs pose a very serious threat to America, And I want to tell you that if any more soldiers get killed, I think that the Arabs are going to have a very, very serious problem with the non-Jewish American.
Rabbi Kahane, Israel has been brilliantly able to maneuver America to become involved directly in the Middle East conflict. And now America is doing the dirty work for Israel, and America is paying the price. The Marines who were killed, the American jets which were shut down, these are extension of America doing the dirty work for Israel. And America is paying for it. The American people will not be happy with this, and that is why I believe the Americans will withdraw the Marines before long, to the distress of Israeli demands to have America come in their support.
Dr. Nachman, you are incredibly brilliant at twisting history for people whose memory goes back about 20 weeks, which is what most people's memories do. Let's get one thing clear. The Marines got there in the first place, not because Israel wanted them, but because, unfortunately, this country made a terrible error in preventing Israel from wiping out those bloody thugs called the PLO. To my dying day, I will never forgive Bacon. far as I'm concerned, I want the Marines out. I don't want one U.S. soldier there. Just let Israel handle the Arabs, and believe me, we know how to handle the Arabs.
You mean that the murderer, butcher Begin, didn't wipe out the Palestinians, and you would have wanted that butcher of Deir Yassin to kill more Palestinians in Lebanon?
I would have wanted to wipe out the PLO physically.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the mentality of butchers who lend themselves to such thinking.
Now we're getting into it. Dr. Melchi, let's go. Come on.
But the Palestinians, whether the Marine is there because of Israel or not, I suggest that indeed, if Israel had not invaded Lebanon, killing and destroying the land, some 50,000 persons wounded and killed with American weapons, American tanks, American bombs, the U.S. Marines later would not have been had any occasion to go to there. You know, in Lebanon, there was a war for 5 years.
Yes.
And there was no need for the U.S. Marines to get there. But after the Israeli invasion, the Marines went over there, and for two reasons: to support a minority government and to help the Israelis to consolidate their hold on southern Lebanon. Without Israel, the Marines would not have been there and would not have been killed. Therefore, the blood of the Marines is on the shoulders of the Israelis.
Dr. Mehdi, before there was an Israeli soldier in there, let alone a U.S. soldier, you people were killing each other off. There were 60,000 Christians massacred over this last decade by Muslims. If anything, this country and Israel helped to save the Christians of Lebanon. And I find incredible that you don't have the honesty to recognize that. The truth is that nobody in Israel wanted one U.S. soldier there. In fact, we were furious. We were fuming at Begin. And Begin, indeed, Begin's tragedy, his present state of mind, lies in the fact that he realizes that he made a dreadful mistake. I want the U.S. troops out. I want them home. I want everyone went home. And just let Israel handle the Syrians. I was in Lebanon last summer, in the army. And believe me, we know how to handle Syrians.
Exactly, with the thousands of American tanks and airplanes and bombs, you can take over the whole of the Middle East as the agents
have.
As the agents of the USA. Rabbi,
I would rather be the agents of the USA than of the Soviet Union, as the Syrians are.
Rabbi, it is this agent of USA which has invited and brought the Soviets to the area. If America gives F-14 Phantoms to Israel, the Soviets, the Syrians are forced to go to the Soviets for SAM 2, SAM 3, and that is why our position is this, that the United States should stop all its military aid to the Arabs and to Israel.
Yes.
The U.S. gives the Arabs some $5 million a day military aid. It gives the Israelis about $10 million a day in terms of aid. This should be stopped, spent for the American people. And when we stop the military aid to Israel, the Arabs will have no need to go to Russia to ask for SAM 2, SAM 3.
Dr. Mehdi, the first Soviet arms came into that region in 1956 in Nasser, in 1955 in Nasser, before this country ever gave one bullet to Israel. The first arms that ever came to Israel from this country came under Kennedy. The fact of the matter is that the Arabs will turn to anyone, including the devil, to get it, and they align themselves with the Soviet Union. That is the fact. That is the truth. Now, when you say that America should stop selling weapons or giving weapons to both Arabs and Israel, that's a magnificent statement. I will accept that statement as soon as the Russians stop giving weapons to the Arabs, too.
That will automatically happen the sooner America stops its military aid to Israel if the U.S. doesn't give Phantom jets, F-14, F-15, F-16 to Israel.
Dr. Nachter,
the Arabs will have no need for the Soviet SAM-5.
Unfortunately, don't realize the danger of communism. This is an unfortunate problem. You don't see the Soviets as a terrible menace.
I do.
And we
do.
No, you really don't. Because otherwise you would realize what a menace Syria is as the surrogate of the Soviet Union. That is a terrible, terrible problem that you fail to realize that Israel and America are both on the front lines of freedom for the world.
Rabbi Kahane, as a surrogate, Israel has done more damage to the Arab world and to humanity than Syria can ever be as a surrogate of Russia. Furthermore, to stop communism as an ideology, it cannot be done by weapons here and there. Communism as an ideology has to be stopped by another ideology. And in the Middle East, in the Arab world, the ideology of Arab nationalism and Islam are the greatest bulwark, that when America wounds that Arab pride, it forces the Arabs to go to Russia to the detriment of everybody, but because of the Israeli influence on American politics.
I'm going to interrupt, gentlemen, for just a moment, right here on WMCA 525. If you've just joined us and you've been following this fascinating dialogue along with me, you've been listening to Mayor Kevin, WMCA, 237 WMCA, and Mayor Kahana is here. You've just joined us. MT, the two gentlemen are separated by only about, they're about 18 inches apart. And neither one has struck a blow at the other yet. Well, a few verbal lances crossed, but no physical violence yet. 57. Callers, we'll get to those busy phones right now. You're on WMCA. Dr. Mechie and Rabbi Kahana are here. Hello.
Yes, hello. My name is Lee. I would like to address a question to Dr. Mechie.
All right, Dr. Mechie.
Yes, sir.
You talk about the peaceful withering away of the state of Israel, which, of course, is a delusion because Israel will never peacefully wither away. I would like to know if you have any other solutions to the Arab or Palestinian problem in Israel, such as immigration or Jordan as a Palestinian state.
No, I believe that the Palestinians went Palestine just as the Jews of Brooklyn went Palestine. And these both are legitimate. Actually, I agree and go along with Rabbi Kahane. I think American Jews, if they want to go, all of them, let them go there, except, of course, for the Jews of Harrison, New York, and Berkeley, California, because these are my friends. I don't want them to go there.
I mean, like, but the Arabs of Brooklyn, the Palestinians that live in Brooklyn. I mean, we could add another million.
No, they're American citizens. No, Palestine should be for the Palestinians. Palestinians and all the Jews of the world, okay? Now, how this withering away will come along once we stop American military aid to Israel, that will be the beginning of...
Who will administer this entity, this piece of land? Who will provide police services and all the other municipal needs to the people?
Well, the political majority, whatever the political majority is. You see, in a democracy, there are no Jews. In a democracy, there are no Muslims. In a democracy, there are no Christians. In a democracy, there are citizens. And so as citizens, members of this political party, that political party, whichever is the majority political party, will administer the area and establish a government.
But Dr. Nachter, that's exactly what you have today in Israel. Unfortunately, the Arabs are citizens. The Arabs vote. The Arabs have equal rights. That, to me, is unfortunate, but that is a fact. They do have that. So what are you changing? What you really want, Dr. Nachter, let's stop playing games. You want a Palestine instead of in Israel, and you know that the Arabs will be a majority. That's what you really want. Let's be honest. Honesty, Dr. Mechie, only honesty.
Rabbi, you are very honest, but sometimes happily imperfect like the rest of us. You see, in Israel today, there is what you say, voting and Arabs are citizens. The 3 million Arab Palestinians are excluded. And I think the right of these human beings to their land should be recognized, just as I recognize the right of all the Jews of Brooklyn and Bronx and the rest of it to go there. So why, in all objectivity, fairness, humanity, we recognize the right of the Jews of Los Angeles and not the Palestinians who were born over there?
Dr. Mechti, honestly, do you believe that in 1947 the Jews had a right to create the state called Israel?
Now, let's be honest.
Do I believe?
No.
They didn't have such right then, they don't have such right now.
Exactly right.
I'm against all Muslim states.
Yes, I'm
against all Christian states.
Yes,
I'm against all Jewish states.
And I see you working extremely hard to get all of the Arab states to take out of their constitution the word Muslim state.
What I can do, I have damned it publicly.
Yes,
I'm damning it now, all the Muslim states.
Yes, however, your preoccupation is with Israel, because Israel is a Jewish state.
It's an aggressive state.
Dr. Mechti, whether it's an aggressor state,
well, they've occupied the land of some other people.
Dr. Mechti, every time the Arabs begin a war, they lose, and we get more land. Can't you realize that you're in a rut? You're in a rut. If you keep fighting, you'll keep losing, and we will gain more and more of our land.
Mm-hmm.
I suggest to you, honestly, to sit down and take this carpetbagger, King Hussein of Jordan, and send him away somewhere and create a state called Palestine. Call it any Disneyland, anything you want in Jordan.
Rabbi, for a good student of history that you are, your historic perspective is really narrow. Just because the Israelis have been able to succeed with the millions of American dollars, billions of it, hundreds of thousands of tons of American bombs, in four, five, six wars, this is a 50-round fight. Five over, there are 45 more rounds to go. So let historic perspective, and you, as I said, are a good historian, not be clouded. This is just the beginning. The moment we stop American military aid to Israel, Israel will not be able to attack, to invade, to kill the people,
Dr. Mechti,
as it has been doing.
In 1947, when there was no occupied land of 1967, and the Arabs went to war, the U.S. government did not give Israel anything. In fact,
the British government then.
The British government gave us, with such friends, we really don't need enemies. The fact is that no one gave. The fact is that the U.N. was an irrelevant thing, as it always is. 6,000 Jewish people died in that war. That's what created a Jewish state. In 1956, this country not only did not help Israel, but they forced Israel to pull back. So let us, if we're speaking about history, let us speak about history honestly. Eisenhower made a grave mistake. America is still paying for it.
All right. We're going to take more phone calls in just a moment.
Tivoli, Romanian.
President Reagan has gone crazy with his new political military pact negotiated in Chania. And the United States really has no vital interest in Lebanon. One would conclude that 255 Americans died for Israel. From our standpoint, the U.S. standpoint, which is more important, that we support 100 million Arabs or 2.5 million Jews?
Of course, the answer is obvious. These 250 American Marines were killed for Israel. Without Israel having been there, having invaded Lebanon, there would have been no need for the Marines to go to Lebanon. They would not have been killed. I regret to say that there will be more such tragedies in which the Americans pay the price for Israel. Naturally, the future of America is linked to the Arab world, one way or another, not to the bankrupt Jewish state of Israel. Israel, which cannot survive for more than 2 weeks without American charity, being America's major charity. America should change its policy in the interest of the American people and peace in the area.
I think we should get one thing clear here as we listen to this incredible fraud. Dr. Mechti, I am surprised. You are now beginning to speak like an Arab spokesman. Let's get it clear again. The American troops went in there against Israel's interests. They pressured Begin. They forced him to stop killing those thugs. Arafat was become a moderate. He killed Jews moderately. You Arabs have a tremendous problem. You cannot live with anybody, let alone with
with this country. With this country. The Arabs are predominantly anti-American, without reference to Israel. On vote after vote in the UN, without reference to Israel, they vote against the interests of this country. Now, this anti-Semite, who of course called, who hates Jews so much that he would that he is even ready to see American interests hurt. The fact of the matter is not how many Arabs there are. The question is, who are they? What do they want? Now, if America wants a powerful ally like Oman, they are welcome to it. Or North Yemen, or Syria, they are welcome to these people. But if America wants a country which is committed to the Western way of thinking, and which has a tough army, and which will smash the Arabs in your next 45 rounds if you persist in it, that is the kind of ally America should have.
Rabbi, your talk about the anti-Semite clearly reflects your own paranoia.
Yes.
Anybody who criticizes the racist regime of Israel is immediately anti-Semite, and you have this weapon, you are invoking it again and again, and I'm disappointed in you.
No,
yes, I am disappointed in you.
Let me just point out why I say this. I was on a radio program, and this vicious fellow gets up and he says, I am a Nazi. He was an American Nazi. Wait, listen to this. And he said, I am prepared to vote for Jesse Jackson. Now consider this, Jesse Jackson, who stands for everything that is against this country. This Nazi is ready to vote for Jackson because his paranoia about Jews is so insane that he will even vote against America, but just to get Jews. And by the way, it is interesting to note that it is the Arabs who are very, very much hoping that Jesse Jackson will make a good showing. Jesse Jackson is the Arab candidate for president.
Rabbi, that Nazi is as paranoid as you are.
I have
and
to
I assure you,
you to be paranoid about.
Okay, that's your Michigas, your problem.
I am proud of you. But listen.
This Nazi who says he supports Jesse Jackson, I assure you, Jesse Jackson will denounce him and will not want the support of this Nazi. Jackson has certain ideas which we should respect, even if you may wish to disagree. But don't pour dirt on everybody as anti-Semite. That reflects poorly on your mental outlook.
Not only an anti-Semite, he is anti-American.
No, please listen. See, he is against certain aspects of American foreign policy.
He has never praised any aspect of American foreign policy.
He has praised the First Amendment. He has praised the freedom of press and speech and habeas corpus and America is these things rather than a stupid policy adopted by a president here and there. So to disagree with the policy is very legitimate, is very American. That is really to live
Dr.
America.
Dr. McKee, do you want to take this opportunity on this broadcast to announce your endorsing of Jesse Jackson?
No, I am at this stage thinking between Jesse Jackson and...
Is it true you have a blow-up on your library wall of Jackson embracing Yasser Arafat?
No, I have only one of Arafat in which I say goodbye, Abu Ammar. The end of the whole period. But... politically, I think Mr. Jackson represents an important segment of the American society.
Anybody who's against Israel, you're for.
Not necessarily. Not at all.
Rabbi
Kahana's Nazi friend was against Israel, but to hell with him. No, Jackson is a man with certain ideals, and let us, for heaven's sake, respect the person and not pour dirt on people whom we disagree.
That's not the point. The point is that obviously Jackson has his right to say what he says, but I have a right and indeed an obligation to say that Jesse Jackson, God forbid if Jesse Jackson were being president of this country, it would be a disaster. Jesse Jackson has a Pavlovian reflex. He is against America on every issue. He is a third world candidate. He is a disaster, and I think it's important that every person out there realizes how closely the Arabs are for Jackson, because essentially the Arabs are anti-American.
All right, I'm going to have to interrupt just a moment, gentlemen.
Yep.
WMCA, hello.
Hello.
Yes.
How you doing? I'm Norm from Brooklyn. I have a question for those people.
Yes.
Okay, if with the absorption of the West Bank into Israel, there might come a time where Arab population equals or surpasses that of Jewish population. And so the very fundamental nature of the state's going to be changed. It's not going to be a Jewish state anymore unless it becomes undemocratic. So isn't it to the, would it be to the Jewish interest to have the West Bank and Jordan made into a Palestinian state, where the Jewish state could keep its own natural national identity, and a Palestinian identity could be established also on the other side of the Jordan?
Well, you know, let's get one thing clear here. You start from the premise that that's all the Arabs want. The Arabs look upon Jaffa and on Haifa as theirs. Now, don't you understand that? If you ask Dr. Mehdi, is Jaffa an Arab city? Of course he will say yes. And he will say that the, you know, Jews came and, you know, took it from the Arabs. I have no intention of allowing the Arabs to come back within 15 miles. That's how wide it will be if the West Bank becomes part of this Arab state. I have no intention of bringing them back within 15 miles of my coastline. So stop this nonsense. The answer is for the Arabs of the territories to move over to Jordan. That is the answer.
The Jewish state as is basically undemocratic. So it could not become any more than democratic. You know the idea of a Muslim state, a Jewish state. You know what is the First Amendment saying here, that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. This is the first phrase of the First Amendment. No religion and state should be identical or intermingled. The Jewish state is undemocratic to begin with. And of course, the rabbi is thinking, and he is more serious and honest. He says the Arabs should be out.
Right.
And he is as bad as the Arabs who say the Jews should be out. But my position is this, that the place should be for all the Arabs and all the Jews learning to live together. Bad as that may be, it may bring certain conflicts, but it will eliminate permanent war. Now, Bob, one important point that we discussed it off the air. You know, I am in this New York, is called Mr. Optimism. And I have...
You're called Mr. Optimism?
Naturally, I want to bring peace to Palestine. And I have lots of...
I want to walk down 7th Avenue and say, who's Mr. Optimism? I'll take a poll. See if I get anybody interested.
And you will hear that...
Say Charlie Knickerbocker. That's what they will say.
They will say MP Mehdi is Mr. Optimism. Now, my point is this. That I, as you noticed, I have lots of...
Why are you campaigning now suddenly at the 11th hour? You've launched into a campaign.
No.
We just don't have any more time, but you'll be back again. Seriously, Dr. McKinney, really, I thank you. I thank you for conducting yourself in a most uncharacteristic manner. I want to see if you noticed that. I can say the same thing to Mayor Kahana. I want Mayor Kahana to be in good shape, because he's got a task to perform about 210 miles northeast of here. Where are you going?
I'm going to Boston to organize our newest Jews Against Jackson. We are making this man's life miserable. For the first time, this arrogant demagogue has been forced on apologize and explain it away. We are going to emasculate this person in a political sense.
See, he's not used to... Jackson and his ilk aren't used to people like you.
And your ilk.
See, Kahana doesn't... Rabbi Kahana doesn't get intimidated by the likes of Jesse Jackson. Gentlemen, I thank you both.